Before starting, I want to very much welcome all of you, and also especially welcome my exalted God brothers, His Holiness Niranjana Maharaj and His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. We will try to say something in glorification of Lord Nityananda, and if we do it well, we hear well, Lord Nityananda will appear in a very nice artistic theater performance, which is coming right after the lecture. But we first need to glorify him and hear him very well. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying a few very nice prayers about Lord Nityananda, with which we wish to start today's Nityananda Katha. This is taken from the Adi Leela chapter 5 of Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Materials to satisfy the needs of the body and senses,
One cannot understand the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna, Vrindavan. He also confirms that one cannot understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna without going through the direction of the six Goswamis. In another verse, Narottam Das Thakur has stated that without the causeless mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one cannot enter into the affairs of Radha and Krishna. Something has to go before something new can come. Like if we would like to have, let us say, another assembly of Vaishnavas in this room, we would first have to vacate the room. So if we want to have a real Krishna consciousness, then the consciousness of our material desires need to leave. They need to vacate the room of our life. Always in these prayers to Lord Nityananda, this merciful Lord is approached for this blessing. It says, Song Gauranga Bolite Habe by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, where it says, when will the moon like Nityananda Prabhu bestow his mercy upon me so that my material desires will become insignificant? They are no longer disturbing me. And in another song, Mitai Pada Kamala, it is said, if Nitai is merciful to someone, he can attain Radha and Krishna in Braj. There's a very nice book now out about the biography of Narottam Das Thakur, which is very authorized, but it's also written in a very flowing prosaic way, and I would like to read to you a little bit Narottam Das Thakur's realization upon entering Vrindavan. The ideas are taken from our scriptures, but it is addressed in a very, very nice way by she is the wife of Hari, sorry that I know. Sitala, thank you. Sitala Mataji. Narottam has experienced this blessing of Lord Nityananda. Interestingly, he comes after the pastimes of Nityananda are completed. He had contact with Lord Nityananda in a transcendental way, just like we can have contact. His prayers, in other words, are also relevant for us, because we also have not met Lord Nityananda while he is performing his pastime in this world, but we can nevertheless meet him in a transcendental, in a spiritual way. So he expressed his desire, Lord Nityananda, help me to reach Vrindavan. And in fact, Narottam Das reached Vrindavan. Listen to this. Narottam walked swiftly, heading north along the dusty pathway. As eager as he was to reach Vrindavan, the closer he came to it, the more uneasy he became. How could Lord Chaitanya have sent such a low and unqualified person as me to this sacred land? I know so little about spiritual life. Will a great soul like Sri Lokanath Goswami accept me as his servant? Will Sri Gopal Bhatta allow me to touch his lotus feet? Will Sri Jiva Goswami love a fallen soul like me? These are very good feelings when we are approaching Vrindavan. So, are we really qualified? Do we deserve to enter the kingdom of God? This is called dainyam, of feeling very wretched and lowly in the face of something so great as the mercy of the Lord. So as Narottam neared the transcendental land of Vrindavan, Narottam's heart raced and his body trembled. He was becoming overwhelmed by the intensity of the spiritual atmosphere that permeated everything around him. Everything seemed to be shimmering. Narottam picked up a handful of sand. It sparkled like diamonds in the sun. "This is Chintamani," he marveled. "Everything here is made entirely of divine touchstones. This land is identical to Krishna's transcendental abode in the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavan." He let the sand slip through his fingers and momentarily closed his eyes. "But one must have transcendental eyes to see it," he thought. My dear devotees, when we come to Vrindavan, we might not see the spiritual dimension of Vrindavan. And that is due to our material consciousness, which is pervaded with vrittis, or waves of material desire for recognition, for fame, things like enviousness on the qualities of others, and a great clinging for our own satisfaction. When we come to Vrindavan, we might just see the monkeys terrorizing the rooftops, the pigs going for new food in the garbage, the ever-increasing sound pollution and whatever else pollution is possible in India, and so on. But that is because we need to pray still for the mercy of Lord Nityananda, so that our material vision can be exchanged with a Krishna conscious vision, through which we can actually behold not only Vrindavan. We need this vision to behold the deities, and we need this vision, the spiritual vision, to chant properly the holy name. And so Lord Nityananda's mercy is very, very much required. Who is Lord Nityananda? Well, philosophically speaking, don't worry, I won't go into a long description. God has two aspects. One is Svayam Rupa, his original personality, Svayam, his original form. And then there is, coming from this, what we call Vilas Vigraha. That is an expansion or extension of his form. So when the Lord extends his form, then he becomes who? Balaram. You know everything. And from Balaram, other forms develop in the Vaikuntha planets, the Mula Sankarshan. Then in this dark corner of the spiritual reality, the material world, comes Mahavishnu and or Karana Vishnu, and from him expand Gavodakasha Vishnu and Shirodakasha Vishnu, who is entering as the Paramatma in everyone's heart. But very important to note, when Lord Krishna expands, the first expansion is Lord Balaram. Our pujaris in Mayapur, who come from England and are known for their very precise but very short explanations of transcendental subject matter. They say, when Krishna steps to the right, he is Balaram. Krishna. I like it very, very much. He is just expanding himself. When we step to the... So anywhere is inconsequential. When Krishna expands himself. And so on. There's a very nice description in Chaitanya Bhagavat about Krishna and Balaram in the transcendental kingdom of God. Once Lord Govinda and Lord Rama, that's the short form of Balaram, the performers of wonderful activities, were playing holy in the sacred land of Vrindavan with their gopis. This is about this time. A little while ago, the spring season arrived, and that is celebrated by a joyous outburst of the festival of colors, where the inhabitants of nowadays Vrindavan throw things, colors actually, ideally, at each other. And they're a little rustic. So that is from the original spiritual world. The motive is there. Let us celebrate the arrival of spring by throwing the beautiful dust of various colors of flowers on each other. And Radha and Krishna enjoy like this, and Balaram enjoys like this with his gopis also. And so Krishna and Balaram wore flower garlands and spotless garments, and their limbs were beautifully decorated and anointed. They praised the nightfall. And they would notice, oh, see how the night is covering everything with a very nice black veil. They were singing like this. And they praised the rising of the moon. Oh, see, the moon is coming and bathing everything in its soothing light. The stars were there. There were breezes which carried the scent of lotus flowers. Bees were intoxicated by the fragrance of sweet honey. And Krishna and Balaram felt inclined to sing at that time. And they sang simultaneously. The range of all the ragas. In other words, it was pure music where all the 33 with three zeros were present. It was a festival of music. Their singing brought happiness to the ears and minds of all beings, except for the beings in this material world who couldn't hear. We cannot hear at the moment, and we cannot see the spiritual reality. And Krishna and Balaram are concerned about this. They feel that without the presence of all the souls, something is missing in the pastime. And this desire to save the conditioned soul came in the hearts and gave birth to their decision to appear as Chaitanya Nityananda in this world. There's a very nice lecture by Srila Prabhupada in Honolulu in 76, where Srila Prabhupada expressed this, let me say, the theme of joining Radha and Krishna, or Priya Krishna Balaram, in the spiritual world for their eternal pastimes. He said something so beautiful that I think it will reach your hearts. Krishna is a big fire, he said, and we are sparks of that fire. We are also fire, but very, very small. When the sparks can remain within the fire, they are very beautiful. But as soon as they fall down out of the fire, and Prabhupada makes a sound, how it sounds when sparks fall out of the fire. But they are extinguished. No more fire. Black charcoal. So, if you want happiness, how he would say, how he would speak with this infection. So, if you want happiness, then we have to dance with Krishna. But Krishna is Pavitra. He's the supreme pure. If you want to take pleasure in the company of Krishna and dance in the rasa dance, then you have to become purified. Sarvopadi viniyamuktam. So, yes, Krishna and Balaram want us back, but we cannot march into the spiritual world with our dirty boots on. We cannot, in other words, enter that exalted atmosphere when our hearts are still covered with selfish material desires. It's not possible. We are not permitted entry there. You're young people and you know there are areas where you're not permitted to go, like when you come into a big stadium where there's a big concert going on and you want to also dance on the stage and also sing into the microphone because you feel musically inspired, there will be guards who will not allow you to pass beyond a certain zone. Unless, you know, in the old times we would nevertheless storm and on the stage and dance with the Rolling Stones on the stage, but that is no longer possible. It is too highly guarded. There is security before the spiritual world, and you will be allowed only to pass through if they have inspected your heart and seen that there are no material desires. There's only one desire, the desire to please Radha and Krishna. Seeing that we are hopelessly bound to material life and material desires, that lords appear in this world with a unique process by which our hearts can be purified, and that is through the kirtan of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared in this world to give us the means by which we can become qualified to pass through the guards, to cross the border and again enter into this fire-like divine atmosphere of the spiritual world, where we will be reinstated in what our hearts truly crave for, that is a real loving relationship with Radha and Krishna. This one song which Prabhupada used to always sing. This was one of his always sung song. It is Hari Hari Bifali, page 100. There he sings, there Narottama Thakur sings, Brajendra Nandana Yei Sachi Suta Hoilose Balaram Hoile Nitai. Please, Rajendra Nandana Yei Sachi Suta Hoilose Balaram Hoilo Nitai Dina Hina Jato Chilo Adina Me Udarilo Sakshi Jagai Madai. The son of the king of Braja has become the son of Sachi Devi, yes. And Balaram has become Nitai, truly spoken. Through Harinam, they have delivered all those who are fallen and wretched. Now you may doubt now, something really fallen and wretched. I sit in the Radha Desh Mellows and I get quickly tired. And I avoid the kirtan after some time and eat. I'm not delivered by Harinam. I can't feel it. My dear devotees, there's a proof that everyone, no matter what is their fallen condition, can be delivered. And this proof is supplied in this song. Tara Sakshi Jagai Madai. Jagai and Madai are the testaments to this fact. And Gaudiya lore, that we say, we always say, here is an example. Jagai and Madai were so absolutely fallen that they had given up all their Brahminical cultures and had taken to the drinking of alcohol and of womanizing and violence and everything. But we all know that they had their chance when Lord Nityananda passed them. At that time, Madai was in a drunken stupor. Stupor means he didn't know what was going on. Like this. Lord Nityananda approached him and his brother Jagai and said, Chant Hare Krishna. The Lord has appeared to save all of us. Chant his sweet names. Don't know if you have ever tried to say this to someone who's in a drunken stupor. He will go, what? And his aggression will come forth like an angry snake. So Madai could not tolerate Lord Nityananda standing like a little child and smiling at him and chant. He could not tolerate it, and he took his clay pot, which was drunk, and he had drunken from it, and he transformed it into a deadly weapon. This is what, anyways, you don't need to know these things. Hurled it at the head of Lord Nityananda and draw blood. There were some devotees around, and they ran to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so angry that Lord Nityananda, whom he considered his own dear, was hurt by this drunken man, that he quickly ran to the spot while he was shouting for his weapon, Sudarshan, Sudarshan. We know the powerful weapons of old, they would be invoked by mantras. This is how the Kshatriyas would fight. So the Lord did only call this the name of this celebrated and irresistible weapon, Sudarshan, and immediately Sudarshan was there. And Lord Chaitanya appeared on the spot, ready to kill the two. But Lord Nityananda, whose face was covered with his blood, intervened. He fell into the arm of the Lord and said, "My Lord, in this incarnation, you have not come to kill the demons. That was a previous incarnation. In this incarnation, you have come to remove the demonic mentality. What if you kill him? Then you will have to kill everyone. You please forgive." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was for a moment hesitating, but then he said, "Okay, I will forgive. Give Jagai, the brother." The brother Jagai was there when this mother had attacked Nityananda, and when he wanted to strike a second time, you know, then he had hindered Madai by holding his arm and saying, what are you doing? He's a saintly person. Don't do this. Don't attack him." So Lord Nityananda knew about this, Lord Chaitanya knew about it, and he said, "I will forgive Jagai because he prevented Madai to do a second blow, but not Madai." And he was ready. Imagine Madai saw the Sudarshan Chakra, a huge dimension, full of fiery sparks were coming out, and he knew this is the end. But Lord Nityananda again pleaded for Madai, so much so that hesitatingly and not really being very happy with it, Lord Chaitanya withdrew the Sudarshan Chakra and granted even Madai's life. This is a proof that, no one can go worse than Jagai and Madai. They really are top, rock bottom, you say. You can't go deeper than that. Maybe, I don't know, but let's not even imagine that it's possible. This is a proof, and this is well known in our ISKCON temples. I believe many, you have all heard about this pastimes and what happened later. I don't want to dwell on this because you know it very well already, but I just want to read to you from Chaitanya Bhagavat something which I think needs to be brought again and again to our attention. The way Lord Nityananda elevates the fallen souls is by making them chant. See, Jagai and Madai were forgiven but not yet elevated. What happened a day or so later is that there was a kirtan, and they were coming into this kirtan where Lord Chaitanya danced. And when Lord Chaitanya saw them, and they saw that they were singing the holy names of the Lord, then he did his wonder of elevating them. He took all the sinful reactions for a moment on his body so that his golden colored body was black. That Vedacharya was joking. "Now you have revealed your true identity as Syamasundar Krishna. You are black. We can see now very clearly." It was a joke because the blackness was from the sinful reactions of Madai, Jagai and Madai. And after this, they were purified. They were forgiven first, but they were purified in the kirtan. I think we should be aware of this. when we come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, we are forgiven. But we need to now enter the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all earnestness. Because only through the kirtan, this is how the Lords were choosing to save the fallen conditioned souls. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, even if he is a distressed person, I think he speaks of us, or a degraded person, any person who chants the holy name of the Lord, having heard it from a bona fide spiritual master, is immediately purified, even if he chants the Lord's name jokingly or by chance. He happened to get a ticket to Radha Desh. He and anyone who hears him are freed from all sins. No? Therefore, how can anyone seeking disentanglement from the material clutches avoid chanting the name of Lord Shesha? This is all one tattva. Nityananda, Balaram, Ananta Shesha. No? They are very merciful by extending the utmost degree of mercy into this world. And that is that we can become purified and elevated through the chanting of the holy name. Of whom else, Vrindavan Das Thakur asks, should one take shelter? Hare Krishna. The subject is Nityananda Katha, but I would love to talk about Nam Tattva Katha, but I will not be invited again if I distress. So let me. Okay. So Lord Nityananda, who is Nityananda in his pastimes? We heard who he is in Tattva. He is the Vilas Vigraha of the Lord, and he represents the Guru Tattva. That's why he appears into this world and saves conditioned souls. That's the duty of all those who are functioning in the service of the Guru. They have to connect with the Guru Tattva and instruct people how to go on the path of spiritual life. So then they are representatives of Lord Nityananda and Balaram. Lord Nityananda appeared at least 10 years before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the oldest son of a couple, Hadai Ojai and Padmavati. Their ancestral line comes from Mithila in Bihar, a very sacred town, and they had settled down in Bengal in a village called Eka Chakra. So when Lord Nityananda appeared at their son from the beginning, he displayed his divinity. There were signs on his hands and feet, and also by his activities he would play. But what play would he play? He would play from morning till evening with his little friends, the divine pastimes of Lord Krishna. All the pastimes. The people of Eka Chakra were sometimes watching children play, and they saw that Lord Nityananda spoke all these truths from the scriptures where the pastimes of the Lord are described. They were asking, from whom did he know these pastimes? He's young. He is not learning from anyone. And others knew. He knows. He is the same one. He is Lord Balaram. He was there. So he performed his pastimes. Now, at the age of 12, something happened under the sweet guidance of Lord Nityananda. Sannyasi arrived in Eka Chakra and talked with Hadai Ojha the whole night about Krishna's pastimes. And Hadayoja, being such a great devotee of the Lord, felt after talking a whole night about the pastimes of the Lord, he felt very indebted to this sannyasi. I don't know if you have talked, I think you have, but I remember meetings with my exalted God brothers where we talked the whole night about Krishna conscious subject matters. I have one God brother who's very expert in not getting to bed, but talking about Krishna the whole night we talk. And then in the morning, as the sun rises, the natural feeling you have is, this person was sent to me by Krishna personally. I want to now serve this person and give him anything he wants. This is how we feel when someone talks about Krishna to us and we become elevated in Krishna consciousness. We feel just so grateful. So Hadayoja said, Sannyasi Maharaj, you have talked to me about Krishna the whole night. I feel so indebted. I will give you anything you ask me for. The sannyasi asked, anything? Anything. Then give me the tie. Hadayoja heard this. He did not know what to say. He said, let me speak with my wife Padmavati first. So he went to Padmavati, told him about what happened. Padmavati said, this is the arrangement of the Lord. She was right. It was Lord Nityananda's arrangement to start his next pastime. In childhood he played the pastimes of the Lord, but now he wanted to go on pilgrimage to all the holy places. And he had directed the sannyasi in his heart to come to please his father by doing a whole night of Krishna Katha and then making him obliged to give him back. That was his way to escape or leave Eka Chakra for the next phase in his pastime. There is one pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Nityananda shows really how he is that indwelling super soul. Remember that philosophical part where we heard how from the Mula Sankarshan Karana Mahavishnu expands and then all the other Vishnu forms including the Paramatma. Lord Nityananda is that. So once he displayed this. He was in the house of Srivas Pandit and a crow came by and stole the Ajman pot. And Malini, the wife of Srivas Thakur, lamented to Lord Nityananda, my husband now cannot do his puja. What can we do? The Ajman pot is gone. Nityananda smiled and he went into a meditation and told the crow, bring back that Ajman pot. So the crow was going, I have a good Ajman pot. And he stole and won all of a sudden. The heart felt, I must make a U-turn and return. Because everyone has to follow the Lord in the heart. As he makes us act, this is how we act. So the crow came flying back and just came and then took his beak and gave the Ajman pot and flew away. So Nitai took the Ajman pot and gave it to Malini. No need of a lamentation. He has the Ajman pot. The Lord can direct everyone. And he directed that sannyasi to come and in this way give him a possibility to go. The next phase, I will only be brief here, was for 20 years, Lord Nityananda first served the sannyasi for a little time, but then went alone. They parted ways because the sannyasi had done his purpose, he had fulfilled his purpose, and Lord Nityananda now wanted to travel alone, and he went north up to Bhadrikashrama. He went to all the holy places on the way to south, where there's the Cape Comorin. He went to eastern India and western India. He covered all the holy places until he arrived in a place called Pandharpur. In Pandharpur was a very old Vaishnava. His name, he was a little outside of Pandharpur, was Lakshmipati Tirtha. He was a great devotee of Balaram. And one night, this is how Lord Nityananda used to always announce his coming, in a dream. One night, Lord Balaram appeared to Lakshmipati, this elderly sannyasi, as if in a dream, and told him, "Tomorrow I will come and I will ask you for the sacred initiation." Lakshmipati was in ecstasy, but he didn't understand. Lord, my Lord wants initiation for me? The Lord is the Lord, whatever he wishes. Then that morning, there was a knocking at the door, and a large Abaduta-like personality who was effulgent was standing in the doorways. Lord Nityananda was very large size and very, very, we will hear a little later about his, how he looked. He looked really different. So he had a disheveled, that I don't know, so let me not speculate, but he had a moon-like effulgence. And Lakshmipati looked at him, and he didn't look exactly like Balaram, he looked like Nityananda. "I have come," said Nityananda. "I have come to beg you for the sacred initiation in your line, that's the Madhva Sampradaya." And then he turned, he changed, this is what he did sometimes, our Nityananda, into the form of Balaram, carrying a plow and a pestle, and being in the Braj outfit. Then he turned back into Nityananda, almost asking, "Is your question answered? Who I am?" So the initiation was given by Lakshmipati. A brief time after this, Lakshmipati left this world overwhelmed with divine love of Godhead. The Lord had picked him at his ripe stage of old age. It is said if there is a direct revelation of the Lord, direct, sakshat darshan, then there is so much love and prema that the devotee does not wish to stay any longer in this material world and in this body. So he took Lakshmipati to him, and he then went through, continued his pilgrimage. Now, there was one great devotee. His name was Madhavendra Puri. I think you have heard his name, no? Please let us all say the name so that we have it deeply embedded. Madhavendra Puri. Yes. He is described as the first great acharya who embodied this most intense or most developed or most ripened form of love of Godhead, the Braja Prema. And he is therefore described to be a wish-fulfilling tree from Vrindavan who came into this world because the world was empty of this understanding of the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna needed this love. So therefore he's a wish-fulfilling tree who brought the greatest desire that is for pure love into this world. He brought this pure love for us. So he lived alone with a few of his associates and disciples in a forest. He did not want to mix with many people because the world was so forgetful of Radha and Krishna and it gave him pain. He was there chanting and preferring solitude. So Lord Nityananda found him or wanted to meet him, so he went to him. And when Madhavendra Puri saw Lord Nityananda, he was overwhelmed with love of Godhead. And when Lord Nityananda saw Madhavendra Puri, in which the prema was just like a rising ocean, he ran towards Madhavendra Puri. He embraced him. And together, the two of them fell in the dust of Vrindavan and chanted, Oh Krishna, Oh Krishna. They were really absorbed in the form of love. My dear devotees, what will it be like if you reach the perfection? Have you ever asked yourself the question? How you know how you are now? But how will it be when you reach the perfection? How will you feel? Is it allowed to think about this? How does it look like? Will you have better dhotis or better saris or better mobile phone apps? What will the perfection look like? Will you have a good title? You know, an important member of the interreligious world community, or what will your perfection look like? The answer, I cannot find a better answer than one of my godbrothers once said, you would be overwhelmed with love. Overwhelmed. It will be very strong. It will not be unstrong. How do you say this? Weak. It will be very strong. It will occupy every part of your thinking, every part of your desires. There will be nothing of the old you left. It means the old, what crowds you, the things which are not so ideal in your life. You will be filled instead with just unconditioned love of Krishna. And this is what Madhavendra Puri and Lord Nityananda, they wrote, and their associates thought, what? Who is this person we've never seen? And our spiritual master sees him, and he totally is overwhelmed and rolls on the ground in the dust. And this was the meeting of Madhavendra Puri of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda walked for 20 long years to all the places, and then around the year 1508, he's now 32 years in this world. No? 12 was at home, 20 on pilgrimage. In that time, he felt the calling of his Lord, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he came to Navadvip, but he came first in a dream. Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one morning, was very, very moved. He talked to his associates and said, in the night, an amazing personality came riding on a chariot before our house. Our means Sachi Devi is there. When I looked outside on the standard, means the pole, I saw the flag with a palm tree, which is the insignia or sign of Lord Balaram. Balaram has a palm tree as his insignia. And he was a very tall personality riding on the chariot. He was moon-like effulgence. He was dressed all in blue. And he repeatedly said, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Because he had so much influence. No one answered. Then again he asked, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Came out and looked, and he smiled at me and disappeared. Now you must find this personality. So all the associates went over searching him all over Navadvip, but no new arrival was there. Then Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya smiled. He knew his Lord Nityananda wanted only to be discovered by him, by no one else. And he went straight to the house of Nandan Acharya, and he went with his associates into the house. And what did they see? There was an avaduta dressed in blue garments. Just imagine shining blue garments. His eyes were closed, because he was in deep meditation, the deep trance of meditation. And he was not coming out of the trance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trembling in ecstasy, and he said to Shivas, chant the Bhavitam Shloka. It's a verse which describes how Krishna in the morning leaves the village of Vrindavan and enters the forest of Vrindavan by dancing. Everything dances on the Lord's body. His garland dances, his eyebrows dance, his garments dance. He's the Lord of dance. He covers the ground with his footprints who stay there. It's a beautiful shloka. Vahapitam natavara Kana yo kani karam. Some of you remember this shloka for sure. So Shivas chanted that, and the moment the sound of this verse entered the ears of Nityananda, he opened his eyes. But what was his reaction? He jumped up and started to dance and roared. Roared means something which I cannot do. My voice is not sufficiently strong. It's like 10,000 lions. He roared. Krishna, Krishna. He was overwhelmed with ecstasy. And then he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They saw each other. The tears of ecstasy were there. He just collapsed into the lap of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was lying there, just like a little child. I mean, large body size, but the mood of a child. And the lords, the two lords were crying, and then afterwards engaged in the first kirtan, the Nitai Gauranga Kirtanai, or we see Nitai Gaur, they're staying together. Krishna. Lord Nityananda became the main person to spread Krishna consciousness. He was the main general in the Sankirtan army of Lord Chaitanya. There's a song by Vrindavan Das Thakur describing his pastimes of preaching the holy name. Please sing. Jaya Jaya Nityananda, Rohini Kumara, Patita Udhara Logi, Dubahu Pasara. All glories to Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the son of Rohini. Who's the son of Rohini? Yes, yes. All glories to Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the son of Rohini. To deliver the fallen souls, he extends both of his arms. Come. Yes, yeah. With a choked voice, he stammers sweetly. He is so ecstatic, he stammers. Whomever he sees, he lovingly embraces. Overflowing with prema, his eyes always roll about restlessly, looking like bumblebees hovering over a golden lotus. The merciful Lord Sri Nitai knows the sufferings of others. He has strung together a garland of the holy names which he has bestowed upon the people of this world. He garlands everyone. Here, take this garland of the holy name. Take. Like this. He has subdued the sinners and atheists, but he has distributed prema to the poor and the lowly, calling out, O Gauranga! It's a little bit more. No. Again, please. One, two. He falls to the earth. Nitai's whole body becomes soaked with the tears from his eyes. Within his heart, Vrindavan Das considers Sri Nityananda Prabhu to be like Mount Sumeru falling upon the earth. So Nityananda went all over Vrindavan, Navadvipa. He spread Krishna consciousness to even the most lowly, and he never ever became irritated by the mistakes of others. There's a song, Akrodha Paramananda, the noble Nityananda is never angry. He's never irritated on anyone. Want to close? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once said, it is certainly true, Nityananda, that Krishna will never leave anyone who becomes attached to you. And it's certainly true that anyone who becomes attached to Nityananda will not be left by Krishna. Krishna is always with such a person, 100%. Because Lord Krishna Chandra always resides in your heart, Nityananda, thus your body is the abode of Krishna's pastimes. This was very clear after Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas and left the people of in a deep, deep ocean of separation. At that time, Lord Chaitanya, knowing that his devotees would not be able to tolerate his absence for much longer, he sent Lord Nityananda, whom he considered his own body, so close to Navadvip, to solace the Navadvipvasis and to invite them all to go and meet him in Advaitacharya's house in Shantipur. So there's a description of how Lord Nityananda went from Katwa, a little bit after Katwa, Gauranga Mahaprabhu went when he took his bath in the Ganga. Advaitacharya took him to Shantipur's house and Nityananda went to Navadvip. So this is how he walked. It gives you a nice idea of Lord Nityananda. What do you like to hear? Sometimes as he walked, he started to climb on the top of a kadamba tree. Remember, he is an avaduta. He is transcendental. He stood sometimes for a long time in the Tribhanga Rupa and played a flute on the street. Next is he was rolling on the ground. And then he felt thirsty and he went directly to the cow and drank the milk from the udder. Nityananda. Then he danced alone, lost and drowned in the ocean of ecstasy. And sometimes he became so overwhelmed, he sat in the middle of the road and just started to cry. Anyone who saw him was overwhelmed with love of Krishna. They were all, so to say, drawn out of their minds and their material unfortunate situation, brought immediately on the transcendental platform and enjoyed the bliss of Krishna consciousness. He cried so much that anyone who saw him, his heart would break. Then he jumped into the Ganga and he floated like Ananta, moving very snake-like, like Ananta on the current of the Ganga. Finally, after a long journey, it took him a long time, he arrived in one ghat where Mahaprabhu would bathe. It's the Mahaprabhu ghat. And from there, he wanted to go to Mother Sachi. Mother Sachi was in her house in the mood of Yashoda Ma after Krishna Balaram had left for Vrindavan, for Mathura. She would often cry and sit like the greatest of saints, and she would say, wait, have I heard in the distance the sound of the flute? Is my Kanai coming again? Is my Lord Krishna my Lord Krishna is here, first to him as Kanai. Is my little boy coming? What will he eat all this time? I'm there to cook for him. So then she fainted. She had one of these separation moods where she would just look up in her reverie and say, did I hear the flute? And fainted. And at that moment, Lord Nityananda entered the house, saw Mother Sachi, and immediately paid his obeisances to her, the mother of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Many devotees were there. And when they saw him, they were overwhelmed. They chanted, "Krishna, Krishna." This arose Mother Sachi from her fainting position. She looked at Nityananda, whom she considered like her own son. And Lord Nityananda said, "Don't cry, Mother. The Lord has promised to take care of you even when he left you. He will take care of you. He will be always with you." Which is a truth. Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya had said, "Mother Sachi, when I will leave you now, apparently, but I'm always with you, and I will be known by the name which joins me together with you, Sachinanda, the son of Sachi." And anyone who chants this name, no matter how fallen, will be released from conditioned life. Then he said something else. "And I will always eat what you cook for me. Don't worry. We are always together." So Nityananda reminded Mother Sachi, "Your son is always with you. He cares for you. Don't cry any longer. Now you go and cook for Krishna and serve all the Vaishnavas." This was just what Mother Sachi needed to hear. She ran to the kitchen. She cooked a feast there, because what is a better news than the news of the Lord which comes to us and enters on it? Then Nityananda said, "And you all come with me. I will bring you to meet the Lord. Come with me to Shantipur, where he is waiting for you in the house of Advaitacharya." This is Lord Nityananda, my dear devotees. He brings us to Krishna. He brings us to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in no uncertain terms, "What can I do? I will do whatever Nityananda asks me. Whatever he wills, I will just fulfill it." So on this day of Lord Nityananda's appearance day, we should go to Lord Nityananda. We should not be proud. It's not good to be proud. We should bare our souls. We may say, "I'm living pretty much compromised in my spiritual life." We can say these things which we don't dare to say to anyone. We can say, "Dear Lord Nityananda, my mind is not always full with Krishna. There are so many things which trouble me still in my heart. But we have heard from the Shastras that you are most merciful even to the fallen. Please, Lord Nityananda, consider my case." We will hopefully see now Lord Nityananda in the form of a wonderful pastime. But I request you to raise your hands and repeat after me.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.